Morning. Today's daf in Nida is Lamed Vav. We are on Lamed Hey Amid Beis. We are starting four lines from where the lines are wide. Itmar, the Gemara has the following debate. This is one of the more classic debates that occur in the Masechta, certainly the fourth perek. The Gemara now is going to be debating exactly how it works with Dam Tam and Dam Tahor. So before we go through Rav and Levi, again, let's remind one another. A woman, after having given birth to a boy, so she is tummy for 7 days, and then she's tar for 33 days. Now, even though I keep saying that again and again throughout our Masechta, it's a little bit misleading. When we say that she's tar for 33 days, in other words, she's still tfil yom, she can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, she can't eat karban, and that's not going to occur until the 41st day. 41st day where she have her first opportunity to bring a karban to the Beis HaMikdash, her karban is to the Beis HaMikdash. Until that point in time, she can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, and she can't eat karbanos. So the words dam tamei and dam tahor are correct. I'm saying it correctly, but just so that you're not totally misled. Even during her yemei tohar, she's still prohibited from going to the Beis HaMikdash. But anyway, for 7 days the dam that comes out is dam tamei. The next 33 days the dam that comes out is dam tahor, and that means the difference between dam tamei and dam tahor is legabe her husband. For the 7 days after she had a boy, so she can't be with her husband. From day 8 to day 40, she can be with her husband. Even if she's bleeding, she can be with her husband, because that's not dam tamei, that's dam tahor. Okay, that's according to the Torah. As I already pointed out yesterday, and I'm sure I pointed out previously as well in the Masechta, so the Gaonim are already machmir. The Gaonim say that even though this is obviously a libid de Torah, it's not a libid de hilchasa. The Gaonim already passed a chumrah in which we don't allow ourselves this leniency of dam tahor, even though it's the leniency in the Torah, but the goanim already a machmir. That's after a boy, and after a girl, it's the same thing, just the numbers are doubled. So after a woman has a girl, so she is tamea for the woman, the mother is tamea for 14 days, and then for the next 66 days, from day 15 until day 80, so that's dam tahor. And she could be with her husband for those 66 days, even if she's bleeding. Okay, that's all, according to the Torah. And then, obviously, let's go after a boy. After 40 days, in other words, on the 41st day, she starts bleeding. So what is that bleeding on the 41st day? That's dam nida. And, and so obviously from day 41 and onward, if she were to bleed, she can't be with her husband because now she's a nida. Okay, everything I'm saying now is straightforward. There's nothing to deliberate. However, the Gemara now wants to get into the mechanics of how exactly does this work. Mechanically speaking, anatomically speaking, physiologically speaking, how does this work? How are we to understand the fact that on day 7 she's bleeding, oh, that's dam tamei. On day 8 she's bleeding, oh, that's dam tahor. Mechanically, is there more than one way to look at it? And the Gemara is going to look at it more than one way. Machlokes between Rav and Levi, let's see it inside. We're four lines from where the lines get wide. Itmar. The Gemara has the following debate. Rav Amar, Mayan Echad hu Ator Tama'aso v'Ator Ta'araso. So Rav says that mechanically it's all coming from the same source. Dam Tamei and Dam Tahor are all sourced in the same, coming from the same area. However you want to say it, it's uterine blood. But in other words, it's all Mayan Echad. And that means that what happens from day 7 to day 8? Nothing. Meaning other than the fact that yesterday was day 7 and today's day 8. But outside of that, nothing changed. Mechanically, it's not different. And so, what is the difference? The difference is very simple, says Rav. On day 7, the Torah says that's dam tamei, and on day 8, the Torah says that's dam tahor. Levi Amar, Shnei Mayanos Heim, Nistam HaTamei Niftach HaTor, Nistam HaTor Niftach HaTamei. Now, Levi's of the opinion that, no, mechanically speaking, they're coming from two different sources. It's Shnei Mayanos. So, it's two sources. It's coming from, I'm only saying this by way of analogy, it's two different pipes. And what happens is that on day 7, so that's the tummy pipe. And on day 8, so the tummy pipe has been closed and the tahor pipe has been open. Now, my beinayhu, okay, so we have a debate. Now, as I just briefly commented before starting this year today, not sure I'm really in a position where I can explain the position of Levi from a modern standpoint and from the way we understand anatomy and physiology. It's a little bit challenging, a little bit difficult. The word ma'ayan means a source, a wellspring. So it doesn't necessarily mean the pipes itself. It could be referring to just simply various different causes that cause the dam tamei and dam tahor. It's a possibility, but either way. So here, as just learning the Gemara Kepshuto, what we have over here is a machlokes between Rav and Levi in terms of how to look at the Dam Tami versus the Dam Tahor. So again, according to Rav, it's Mayan Echad. According to Levi, Shtei Mayanos. With that said, it might be now the Gemara wants to know, great. So there's a Machlokas. Is there a Nafkamina? Because without a Nafkamina, it's not much. It is a Machlokas without a Nafkamina, but it's not not something worthwhile for the Gemara to discuss. So the Gemara says, sure, there's going to be a Nafkamina. Ika Beinau, Shofaz mitoch Shiva la'achar Shiva, umitoch Arbasar la'achar Arbasar, umitoch Arbaim la'achar Arbaim, umitoch Shmonim la'achar Shmonim. So the Gemara says there's going to be very significant Nafkaminas between Rav and Levi. Let's say the following. Let's say she bleeds on day 7, she bleeds on day 8, and there was no lapse in the bleeding. It was a continual flow of blood from day 7 to day 8. And we could say the same thing for after having a girl from day 14 to day 15. And we could also do the same thing after having a boy from day 40 to day 41, where there was no lapse. And again, for a girl, from day 80 to day 81. Now, where would everyone come out? So, very interesting. L'Rav, Reisha L'Kula, V'Seifa L'Chumra. L'Levi, Reisha L'Chumra, V'Seifa L'Kula. So it come out now that Rav and Levi would diametrically oppose one another regarding such a scenario. Let's go with the after having a boy. So now from day 7 to day 8, there was bleeding without any cessation. So now under those circumstances, what do you have according to Rav? So according to Rav, so it's all coming from one source. And what's the difference? Very simple. The Torah calls it Dam Tami on day 7, and the Torah describes it as Dam Tahor on day 8. So according to Rav, what would come out now is that, is she going to be muteris to her husband on day 8? Sure, absolutely. And then the same thing would be true from day 40 to day 41, according to Rav, but in the opposite direction. Meaning day 40, that's Dam Tahor. Day 41, it's no longer Dam Tahor. It's not because it's mechanically coming from a different source. It's just simply the Torah says that's Dam Tahor on day 40. That's Dam Nida on day 41. Okay, that's Rav. What about according to Levi? So according to Levi, the conclusion is going to come in the opposite direction. Consider now according to Levi. It's two Mayanos. It's two sources. So that means that according to Levi, there has to be a shutoff of one pipe, and the other pipe has to turn on. We actually need an interruption between the two in order for this to happen. If there is no interruption, so that means that that blood is coming from the same source of the same pipe. So that means, according to Levi, if she bleeds on day 7 and she goes bleeding into day 8 and there was no pause, there was no cessation, and now that means, according to Levi, the tummy pipe has not turned off. And so now on day 8, even though it's day 8, but that's tummy blood that she's bleeding and she cannot be with her husband. And the same thing would be true according to Levi when you go from day 40 to day 41. Again, it's different Mayanos, it's different sources. So that means that according to Levi, if she's bleeding from day 40 to day 41 without pause, so that's Dam Tahor. So here you have now diametrically opposing views and conclusions, whether you subscribe to Rav or Levi. Meizveh, the Gemara is going to be challenging. And now, from this point going forward, for the first Amud of today's Daf, the Gemara is going to be going through many different sources, Mishnayos, Brisos, which are going to try to lean us in either the direction of Rav or Levi. And then at the end of our first Amud, Lamed at the bottom, Lamed Vav, Lamed Aleph, the Gemara is going to conclude which of the positions do we follow. Meizveh, the Gemara challenge is based on a Mishnah. Dam hayo ledesh lo tavla. So we go back to our Mishnah, the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph, where I have a Dam Yoledes. She didn't tov in the mikvah. So meaning to say that she finished her 7 days after having had a boy, and now she's supposed to go to the mikvah after 7 days. She didn't go to the mikvah, and on day 8, she bleeds. So what is that blood? So if you remember, Machlokas in the Mishnah, between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Beit Shammai omrim kerocha chamei meregla. So Beit Shammai is of the opinion that it's a mayan. Now, as we already discussed numerous times, the dam is not a mayan. It doesn't have the properties of the mayan. It's not mitagav yotze. It doesn't pool in a place and then come out. But nevertheless, according to Beit Shammai, because she didn't tov on the mikvah, so we're going to treat the dam like a mayan. It's a chumr derabanan. She should have toveled in the mikvah. And Beis Hillel is of the opinion that that blood that comes out of her is metamelach v'yavish. Metamelach v'yavish meaning it's dam. As we already discussed a couple days ago, the properties of dam is that dam is an dam is an avatoma and dam is metame both lach v'yavish. That means that according to Beis Hillel, how is this blood to be treated on day 8 if she didn't tov on the mikvah? According to Beis Hillel, that's dumb. It's simple. It's dumb tummy. Period. Now, the Gemara fills in a little bit of the blanks, because the Mishnah is not clear exactly what the circumstances were where we know she didn't tov on the mikvah from day 7 to day 8. That part's clear. Was there a pause of bleeding? Was there no pause of bleeding? The Mishnah didn't say. So now the Gemara is going to suggest. So, So we're assuming now that there was a pause in bleeding between day 7 and day 8. So according to Rav now, I do understand. Where according to Rav, it's Mayin Echad. And since it's Mayin Echad, so now I understand why you're Matame Lach V'Yavish. You didn't tov on the mikvah. Levi Damar Shnei Mayanos, but according to Levi, where Shnei Mayanos, Amay Matame Lach V'Yavish, it's hard to understand according to Levi, because look, there was a pause, and that means the faucet of Dam Tame now has been turned off. The faucet of Dam Tara has been turned on. So she didn't tov on the mikvah. Okay, she didn't tov on the mikvah. But that's not Dam Nida. It's not Dam Tame, or not. It's not Dam Tame, right? Nida, I take it back because she's right now postpartum. So it's either Dam Tame or Dam Tara. So that's not Dam Tame. So it obviously has to be Dam Tara. So I'm Lecha Levi, Achabem Ha'iskin B'Shofas. So the Gemara says, okay. So Levi's of the position that we're not talking about where there was a pause, but the assumption in the Mishnah is that there was no pause, meaning that she continually flowed from day 7 to day 8. The Gemara says, oh, really? B'Shofas, my time of the Beishamai. So the Gemara says, well, if there was no pause from day 7 to day 8, so I understand Beis Hillel very well, because Beis Hillel is of the opinion that is Shtei Mayanos, but in order for there to be Shtei Mayanos, that means that there has to be a pause. Because there was no pause, that's why Beis Hillel is of the opinion that she's a Nida. Well, what about Beis Shammai? So the Gemara says, Kasover Beis Shammai Mayin Echad Hu. So the Gemara says, according to Levi, that is the machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Meaning Beis Hillel is of the opinion that Shtei Mayanos, as per the sheet of Levi, and what Beis Shammai is arguing with Beis Hillel is that no, Beis Shammai is of the opinion that it's Mayin Echad. Oh, it works out actually very well. Bisham Alevi Hainu Dika Bein Bisham and Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, now that's wonderful. Meaning, now according to Levi, we mamish have a way of staying over the machlokis between Bisham and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel is of the opinion that Shtei Mayanos, and Bisham is of the opinion that's Mayan Echad, and that's great. Meaning, now we understand what is the underpinning of the machlokis. Ella Rav, my Beinayu. But according to Rav is of the opinion that's Mayan Echad, and Rav is of the opinion that they both subscribe to the idea of Mayan Echad. So, according to Rav, where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are both subscribing to the position of Mayan Echad, so then how could there be a machlokus and a difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? So, Ika Beinayo, Yom Tvila, de Beis Shammai Savar Biyuma Tala Rechmana, Beis Savar Biyuma Utvila. So the Gemara says, well, look, it's Mayan Echad, but still, the question becomes the following. What exactly is going to transition her from being Dam Tame to Dam Tahor? The way Rav is explaining is that, look, even though we're all in agreement, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, that's Mayan Echad, but what is transitioning? Is it going to be either just simply the Yom, which is transitioning from Dam Tame to Dam Tahor, or it's Yom plus Tvila? This should sound familiar, because if you remember, as we went through the Mishnah, so Rashi said this was a Nekudah Machlokas, and now you see in our Gemara, it is a Nekudah Machlokas, but now we're just a little bit more informed. It's the Nekudah Machlokas according to Rav, not according to Levi. According to Levi, you want to stay over the Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Machlokas is actually predicated on the Machlokas of whether it's Mayan Echad or Shtei Mayanos. But now, according to Rav, what's the Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? What's the Tliya? What is it dependent on? Is it dependent on just Yume? That would be the Shita of Beis Shammai. Or is it Yume Utvila, which would be the opinion of Beis Hillel? Tashma. Here we go again. So again, what we're doing all morning, or half of our morning, is we're just trying to see which of the positions, Rav Levi, fit in better with the Mishnah and Braisos. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah, our Mishnah. Umodim yoles bezov sheitamei alach v'yavish. Yoles bezov, we have an agreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. That means that before she gave birth, she was a Zav Gadola, which requires her now to count Shiv Nikiyim. And now, she didn't count Shiv Nikiyim, right? Remember, that we at the end of yesterday's daf, we established that she was low safra. She didn't count Shiv Nikiyim. So that means to say that she gave birth. Let's say she gave birth to a boy. Doesn't matter here, boy or girl. But she gave birth to a boy. And then she didn't count her Shiv Nikiyim. And then she transitions from day 7 to day 8. But she's a Yoles Bezov, which means that she needs Shiv Nikiyim. And she didn't count her Shiv Nikiyim. And she bleeds. Everyone agrees it's matame lach v'yavish, meaning that's dam tame. Now sakadach hachanami de pascha. And again, we don't know now, was there a cessation of bleeding between day 7 and day 8? So right now, let's suggest that there was. Now, bishlam l'rav damar mayinecher hu, bishlam hachim matame lach v'yavish. So according to Rav, where it's mayinecher, so then I understand. It's matame lach v'yavish, because even though she did go from day 7 to day 8, but it's Yoled is Bezov, and she didn't count as Shiv Nikiyim. Levi damar shnei mayanosim, amam matame lach v'yavish. So, but according to Levi, where it's shtei mayanos, so why is it going to be matame lach v'yavish? Meaning, according to Levi, if there's a cessation of bleeding between day 7 and day 8, what's coming out on day 8? Meaning, if in fact there's blood, it's dam tahor. It's not dam tame. So why then, according to Levi, would there be agreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? So amlecha hachanami b'shofas. So Levi will tell you, okay, the assumption going in is that there was a cessation of bleeding. The Gemara said, Levi will tell you, that's a wrong assumption. And the bleeding just continued from day 7 to day 8. B'shofas l'mayitzerich. So the Gemara says, okay, so the bleeding didn't stop. So what's the chiddush? Yeah. It's obvious. So the Beis Shammai itzrich af agav dekamer Beis Shammai mayin echadu over yumatel rechmana hani mili biyoledes gredasa deshlim alohu yomei. So the chiddush would be according to Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai holds its mayin echad. Remember, we are answering for Levi, and according to Levi, this is shita Beis Shammai. That's mayin echad, and even though that's true, and that means to say that going from day 7 to day 8, it automatically switches over from dam tami to dam tahor, because it's not shtei mayanos according to Beit Shammai, as per the shita of Levi. Still, that's only talking about where it's just leida, where there you finish off the days. Ava yoledes bezov de bayis sfira lo. Ava yoledes bezov. So to go from day 7 to day 8, so even though that normally would have been a smooth transition, and just simply you label that day 7 dam tami and day 8 dam tahor, but because it's yoledes bezov, and because there needs to be a shiv nikiyim, so therefore we do not just simply transition from day 7 to day 8. Tashma. We're going to try again. Divorsa titma. The Torah in the beginning of Parshas Tazria tells us of a woman who gave birth. So if it was a boy, she's tmeah for 7 days, and if it's a girl, she's tmeah for 14 days. Divosa titma, and the Torah tells us that it's a flow, which is tame, for either 7 or 14 days. The rabbi says, bo'olah. So, three drushas that are coming out from this expression. Normally, I know, under normal circumstances, you only allowed one drusha per phrase. It could be that these three drushas are just linked together. They're threaded together by a common denominator. The three drushas are, one, the rabbi says, bo'olah. If her husband has relations with her during these 7 or 14 days, her husband's considered a Boal Nida. And again, I know she's not exactly a Nida, but it's Dam Tame. And so therefore the husband is now going to have the status of a Boal Nida. Divosa Tidma L'Rabbos HaLeilos. It also comes to include the night as well. She's not only Tamea during the day, she's Tamea at night as well. Now, the Drusha is telling us that we have the following Havamina. It's a strange Havamina. That for the 7 days or 14 days, she's only going to be Tamea during the day, not at night. That's a havamina. Hard to understand what that means. But, okay. Anyway, the drasha is to tell us, no, she's tameh during the night as well. And devosat titma l'rabba seyeles bezov, shetzricha shetesha shiva yamim nikiyim. And devosat titma is that if a woman gave birth while she was a zavagadola, so that means to say that after having had the baby, she's going to require to count shiva nikiyim. Okay. Now, those are the drashas, and now the Gemara, once again, is going to try to process. So according to Rav, I get it. Meaning Rav is of the opinion Mayin Echad. So now that means to say that it's all coming from the same source. Now, the idea that you need Shiva Nikiyim is because it's all coming from the same source. However, but according to Levi, let's see if I can understand this. It's going to be a little bit challenging. Levi tells us it's Shtei Mayanos. So that means that when you go from day 7 to day 8, or from day 14 to day 15, after having had a girl, and let's say there was a pause, there was a lapse in the bleeding. Okay. According to Levi, Shtei Mayanos. So that means that from day 8 to day 40, it's a totally different Mayan. It's a totally different source. What does that mean to Lagabe Shiv Nikiyim? She could count Shiv Nikiyim from day 8 through day 40, even if she's bleeding. That sounds strange. How do you call that Shiva Nikiyim if in fact she's bleeding? And what Levi will tell you is very simply. Well, Shiva Nikiyim just simply means it has to be Naki from Dam Tame. As long as it's Dam Tahor, so then that's considered Naki. You look at the top Rashi. Rashi writes this. V'tifsuk mashu, all you need now, according to Levi, is just a short pause in her flow. La'achar shvuayim, d'nista matame, v'tamtim shiva v'titbol. And now, as long as there was a short pause in the bleeding, from day 14 to day 15, so now day 15, even if she's bleeding, that's called shiva nikiyim. V'afilu tira kol shiva, yao la b'nikiyim. Rashi writes, even if she's bleeding all 7 days, d'ha lav dam tamehu. That's not dam tameh. And that means now, according to Levi, so that should be called and qualified as Shiva Nikiyim. Why would the Braisa tell me that she needs Shiva Nikiyim to be actually clean days? Or according to Levi, no, not necessarily.
But she was a Zavar Gadola. So how does Levi know where she's bleeding from?
She was a Zavar Gadola, agreed. But now, after having the 14 days gone by, and there was a small pause, there has to be that pause. As long as there was a small pause... The pause now tells us that that's Dam Tahor, right. And it doesn't now affect her Shiva Nikiyim at all. She'd be able to count her Shiva Nikiyim even while she's bleeding. So Hachi Kamar. She can't go to the mikvah. Sure, she can. Why can't she? It's Dam Tahor. She'll go to the mikvah. So the Gemara says Hachi Kamar. Tzricha shetifsok mashu shi'alu l'shiva Nikiyim. So the Gemara says that's pshat, meaning that's exactly what the Braisa teaches us. That according to Levi, as long as there's a small pause, that's fine. So that means to say now that on day 15, the bleeding now is dam tahor, so it won't affect the Shiva Nikiyim at all. Okay, that's how you read the Braisa. Tashma, here we go again. Okay, I normally I'm good at counting how many rounds we are in this fight between Rav and Levi. I didn't keep score. Okay. Tashma, Yemei Ibura, Olam La Yemei Minikusa, Yemei Minikusa, Olam Yemei Ibura. Okay, this takes us back to the first parak of the Masech. So remember, we spent most of our first parak talking about the topic of Mesulakas Damin. We want to know when is a woman considered to have an abeyance of bleeding, so that the next time she bleeds, we're not going to go back Me'eis La'eis 24 hours retroactive from the time that she bleeds, but rather we're going to say Daishaita, that the bleeding is only from this point going forward and there's no retroactive. So now, as long as there are three menstrual cycles that have been skipped over, she's considered now Mesulakas Damin. And here, in terms of counting the three, so nursing obviously creates an abeyance of bleeding, and pregnancy also creates an abeyance of bleeding. And here, what we learned earlier, this is a brace that we saw earlier in the Masechta. What you can do is you can combine, in other words, months of nursing, months of pregnancy. You can transition from pregnancy to nursing, from nursing to pregnancy. Yes, it's true. The Gemara asked earlier. I know. The Gemara asked earlier, right? To go from nursing to pregnancy, like that you understand. To go from pregnancy to nursing with an abeyance of bleeding, that's a bit tricky. The Gemara earlier raised that question. Okay, anyway, go back to the Gemara earlier for that. So anyway, case that he seeks shtaim b'mei ibura v'achas b'mei minikusa shtaim b'mei minikusa v'achas b'mei ibura achas umechsa b'mei ibura v'achas umechsa b'mei minikusa olin lali gimel onos. Okay, any way you put it together, so it's going to be gimel onos, three menstrual cycles have been skipped, and therefore daishaita. Now bishlam l'rav damar mayin echad hu mishum hachi bayev sek shosh onos. So according to Rav, that's mayin echad, so then I understand why it is that you need a stoppage of three cycles. El Levi damar shnei mayanos ein. But according to Levi, where it's shnei mayanos, so now lamali hefsek shoshonos b'mashu sagi. According to Levi, as long as there's just the smallest pause of bleeding between day 7 and day 8, so or from day 14 to day 15, the bleeding that she does during the Yemei Tuma, that's totally separate. Meaning, even though that's bleeding, according to Levi, that's coming from a totally different source. As far as the halachas of Dam Tameh, Dam Nida, that's considered an abeyance. That's considered as if she's not bleeding because it's a totally different source of where that blood is coming from. So that means now that according to Levi, you don't need 3 months of stoppage. You need just a moment of stoppage, and then any bleeding that occurs during her Yemei Tohar is just simply discounted. So Hachi Kamar, Tzricha Shetafsuk B'Mashu Kedei She'alo L'Shal Shonos. And again, the Gemara is going to do the same thing. That's how you read the Braisa. That as long as there is just the smallest stoppage of bleeding between day 14 to 15, day 7 to day 8, so then Enachinami. So then any bleeding that comes after that can be totally ignored. Tashma V'Shavim Beroa Echad. Sorry. V'Shavim Beroa Achar Dam Tawar Shedai Shaita. Everyone's in agreement that when she sees after Dam Tawar, so we can say Dai Shaita. V'Shama Levi. Oh, now this Brisa works out great according to Levi. Because Dam Rishne Mayanosim. Okay, good. So now you understand that the bleeding that was during the Dam Tawar is to be totally discounted. So Mishum Hachi Dai Shaita. El Rav Damar Mayan Echad Hu. But according to Rav, that says that it's one source. It's hard to understand. Amai Dai Shaita. Why do we say Dai Shaita? Titame Meithais. What we should do is we should go back retroactive to the 24 hours because according to Rav, it's all coming from the same source. So was there an abeyance and bleeding according to Rav? No. It happens to be that the Torah calls it Dam Tohar from day 7, from day 8 to day 40 and from day 15 to day 80. That's true. But you can't say that she wasn't bleeding. She was bleeding. So therefore, we have to say that she's Dai Shaita. So the Gemara says the Leika Shal. So the Gemara gives an interesting answer. And I'm saying over the answer like Rashi saying it over here. And that is that, well, you know what the circumstance was? The Gemara says, I'll tell you. So she went, again, we're looking at this from Rav. So she went from day 15 to day 80 after having had a girl, and she bled, and it's all Mayan Echa, it's all coming from the same source. Ah. What happens here is as follows. Now, on day 81, she sees again. Not even a full 24 hours later. Meaning, so sometime in the morning of day 81, she sees again. Now, what are we going to say over here? Do we have a possibility of going back 24 hours? No. Why not? Because 24 hours ago, the blood that was coming out was Dam Tohar. Okay. So we can't go back 24 hours. And so because we can't go back 24 hours, that's why we're not going to say that she's going to get the Tumah Meis Leis. Now, hopefully you're wondering. Okay, we're not going to go back 24 hours, but at least go back to last night. Meaning, after day 80, on the eve of day 81, she's no longer considered Dam Tohar. So at least now, if she's bleeding in the morning of day 81, let's go back to the previous night. And the Gemara is going to ask that question. V'titame me pekida pekida. Okay, so we can't go back 24 hours. But let's at least go back to last night. So really interesting answer. Look, the idea that we're going back retroactive, that's a chomer de rabbanan. That language was used in the first perek a couple of times. It's a din de rabbanan. And the din de rabbanan, it's a package deal. Meaning, if there's an opportunity to go back me'es le'es, so then we're also going to go back me'pikida le'pikida. But if we can't go back me'es le'es, she bled on the morning of the 81st day. 24 hours ago, that was Dam Tohar. So since we're not going to go back me'es le'es, we're also not going to go back me'pikida le'pikida. That's all part of the bundled, packaged din de rabbanan, chumr de rabbanan. I'm so sorry. No.
You were saying that she stopped, so it's Dam Tohar. But you can't call that because before that it was Dam Tohar.
Right.
So therefore, you can't call, you start from today. Right? So why don't you say the opposite part, that it's Dam Tohar, right? So because of that, you do go Meis Leis. Just the opposite thing. There's no reason why you're not going back other than the Gemara.
Well, you can't go back Meis Leis. It's just simply not possible. Because 24 hours ago, that was Dam Tohar.
So why don't you go Meis Leis?
Good, that's the Gemara's question.
That's what he's asking.
I'm asking that. I understand, and the Gemara's answer is that they go hand in hand. Okay. Tashma.
What happened here? 80th night, she stopped?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If she bled on the night of the 80th, the Gemara's point is going to be the same point. I'm sorry. If she bled on the night of the 81st, it's going to be the same point of the Gemara, that if you can't go back 24 hours, you're also not going to go back mipikida lepikida. Tashma, yolez bezov shesafra velo tavla. You have a lo yolez bezov. She counted, but she didn't tovel in the mikvah. So halacha beis sham l'shita sam, beis sol l'shita sam. So here we have a scenario where she was yoled es bezov, but she was soferes. Now again, should sound familiar. We talked about this just yesterday. So here now, what are going to be the respective positions of beis sham and beis sol? So the answer is the respective positions. Meaning, beis sham will tell you that it's the dam is considered her mayanos, which means it's going to be metame lachman nayavish. Beis sol is of the opinion that it's dam tame. It's metame lachviyavish. Okay. Now, bishlam l'rav damer mayin echaru. So now, again, let's put this and process this through both the position of Rav and the position of Levi. So according to Rav, it's mayin echaru mishem hachim metame lachviyavish. So very good. So according to Rav, now I understand. Why is it that according to Beis Sol, metame lachviyavish? Because it's all coming from the same source. Ela Levi damer shtei mayin echaru mishem metame lachviyavish. But according to Levi, look, she counted the shivnakiyim. And now, it's shtei mayanos. So why should it possibly be that we should be treating that blood like dam nida, like dam tame? Meaning, according to Levi, shtei mayanos. And she counted her shiv nikiyim. So how does that work according to Levi? So amlecha Levi anadamri ketana deshavin. So Levi will tell you that brisa. You know what? I'm gonna give it to you. That brisa is difficult for my position. And Levi will tell you that I'm going to have to go back to the previous brisa, and I'm going to subscribe to the brisa of Shavin. Right? If you look back up in the Gemara, that's just about 10 lines above where we are right now. Ibai sema b'shofas. So the Gemara says, or I'll give you another suggestion. Maybe we're talking about a case where there was no cessation of bleeding. The Gemara says, what? That can't be. V'hasafer ketani. What do you mean? How could you say that there's no cessation of bleeding when meanwhile she counts shiv nikiyim? So hacha b'yolanes nekeva b'zov askinan. So the Gemara says, I'll give you the scenario. Scenario would be like this. She was a yolanes b'zov after having had a girl. D'shavu kama paska. So shavu basra lo paska. So first week, there was no bleeding. Second week, there was bleeding. I know, it's really unlikely. I know this is an okimta. But we're just trying to say a pshat in the b'raisa so that Levi's position is defensible. And what we're suggesting now is that after having had a girl, so the first week there was no bleeding whatsoever, and the second week there was bleeding, and the second week bleeding continued into the third week. Now, how is all this going to work according to Levi? So now in terms of a Shiva Nikiyim, so the first week qualifies Shiva Nikiyim. Now, if you've been following the Masecht up until now, your answer should be patently no. Because remember we did the Gemara on Chav Tes and Lamed, where you can't double dip. You can't count your Shiva Nikiyim you can't count your Shiva Nikiyim during the Yemei Tumah. That is what we said back then. What we're saying right now in the Gemara is not everyone's in agreement to that. There's dissension on this point. V'kasavar Yemei Leidasa Shein Ro Mehen Olin Lala Sfir Zivasa. Okay, and so we are going to subscribe. Again, all this is now a really, really difficult pshat, but at least we can say a pshat. So now during the first week, after she had a girl, there was no bleeding whatsoever. And we're saying that that can count towards the Shiva Nikiyim. So now her Zov has been resolved. She counts the Shiva Nikiyim. Week number two, she bled. And week number two, she bled into week number three. So now we have a scenario where, according to Levi, it's Shtei Mayanos, but because there was no break between days 14 to day 15, so therefore that's still considered Dam Tameh. That's a pshat. So Amalei Ravina Ravashi Amlecha Rav Shemim Misichra Ikla Marzutra La Asrein. So Marzutra went to a town. Vidar Shilchusa Kavasei De Rav Lechumra Vilchusa Kavasei De Levi De Chumra. So and he had the following conclusion, meaning so most of this morning has been dedicated. No, so far all this morning has been dedicated to the machlokes between Rav and Levi. Mayinechash De Mayanos, and again very significant nafkaminas. In terms of how we look at the transition days from 7 to 8, from 40 to 41, and it's going to be different. And so, according to Rav, it starts off, if there was no break of the bleeding, it starts off as being a kula, ends off as being a chumra. And according to Levi, the opposite. So the Gemara now says that what he paskins, Marzutra, is that you're going to follow Levi and you're going to follow Rav, and each one is l'chumra. Now, in general, that's a very difficult psak. Why? Because we say that you should follow the kulas, the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel. Follow the kulas of Beis Shammai, but then his chumras as well. Follow the kulas of Beis Hillel, but then his chumras. But to go and to follow one's chumrah and the other's chumrah, so the Gemara has very strong words to describe such an individual who does that. Not good words. So over here, it is a really difficult psak. It happens to be the Gemara doesn't raise that issue over here. We showed him do. You could see Tosos on the bottom of the Amud right away. He's bothered by this question. See Tosos on the bottom for a discussion of that. Rav Ashi Amar Hilchos Kavasei de Rav Ben Lekula Ben Lechumra. Rav Ashi says we follow like Rav Ben Lechumra Ben Lekula Darsh Mereimar Hilchos Kavasei de Rav Ben Lekula Ben Lechumra Mereimar as well. Hilchos Kavasei de Rav Ben Lekula Ben Lechumra. And the Gemara's conclusion over here is that we do follow Rav's position. It is Mayan Echad, and that is the Gemara's conclusion. Okay, let us begin the next bit of Gemara. We're on the very top of Lamed Vav Amud Beis Hamakasha Nida. Okay. We're discussing now a woman at the end of her pregnancy, and now there is bleeding occurring at the end of the pregnancy, but it seems like it's really connected to labor. Why do I say it seems that way? Well, first of all, the baby's coming out. That's a good clue. And number two, there's a lot of pain involved as well. So this bleeding is labor bleeding. Does that have any legal significance? And as we're going to learn right now together here in the Mishnah, yep, it's got legal significance. Meaning that dam leida, let me say it better, the dam of the chevle leida, right, the bleeding that's as a result of the labor that is occurring is not necessarily dam tame. Now, I'm trying to use my words carefully. Not necessarily. I'm hedging a little bit. And the reason why I'm hedging is because look at the first two words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamakasha Nida, that if she's having difficulty, meaning there's pain involved, at the end of her labor, so she's a Nida. What does that mean? Just the language of the Mishnah is difficult. So stay tuned, because the Gemara is going to raise that question. So Hamakasha Nida. Kashasa Shlosha Yamin Besoch Yud Aleph Vishafsa Me'esla Es V'yalda Hareza Yolos Bezov. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Let's say that she's experiencing a lot of pain, and she's besoch yud aleph, and she's during her 11 days of Yemei Ziva. Now, we've already discussed this a number of times, but I'll just simply highlight it again. It's a difficult concept in that we're now at the end of her pregnancy, and somewhere towards the end, she became a nida. Again, from our experiences, from what we know, this doesn't happen, meaning that there is a full cessation of bleeding during her gestation period. Okay. I get that part, but the Gemara is assuming, and it has been since the beginning of the Masechta, that it's possible. Possible for a woman to become a Nida even towards the end of her pregnancy. And that means now that she's a Nida, that's 7 days of being a Nida. Now, what's the next 11 days? The next 11 days are Yemei Ziva. And now, as she is at the end of her pregnancy, she's during the 11 days of Ziva, and she's bleeding 3 of those days. Now, again, basic information that we already know is that 3 days of bleeding during your meziva is going to make her a Zava Gadola. Okay. However, again, going back to our point of this Mishnah, is that if we can call that labor bleeding, so then that's not considered your meziva. How do I know? So Rabbi Eliezer says, here's the test. The test is very simple. She bleeds 3 days over your meziva at the end of her pregnancy, and then she immediately has the baby. That's not called Dam Ziva. That's called Dam Leida. And that's not going to make her a Zava Gadola. If, however, let's say she bled during the 3 days, and then there was a break of the labor pain. How long a break, according to Rabbi Eliezer? 24 hours. So so that means to say now that the bleeding was not labor-related. That's just simple, standard Ziva bleeding, and therefore she's a Zava Gadola. And she's what's called now a Yoledes Bezov. Which means that postpartum, aside from the Yemei Tuma of either having a boy or a girl, she's also going to have to count Shiva Nikim as well. That is the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Laila V'yom, Kelele Shabbos, V'yomam, Sheshavsa Minatzar V'lo Min Adam. Rabbi Yeshua basically is in full agreement with Rabbi Eliezer. It's just a question of now what that 24 hours is going to look like. So it's not 24 hours in the way that you would normally describe 24 hours, meaning look at the time right now and go back 24 hours, but it has to be Laila V'yom. It has to be that she went through a night and the next day. That and only that, just like a Shabbos, or like any Yom Tov for that matter. meaning that and only that is going to qualify as a cessation from her dam ziva, and that and only that is going to qualify that bleeding as dam ziva. Kamihi kishuyah, Rabbi Meir Omer afilo arba'im v'chamishim yom. Now, if we're saying that there was a uninterrupted pain of labor, and therefore we're calling that bleeding now no longer dam ziva, we're calling that labor, how far back into the pregnancy are we going to go? So Rabbi Meir says 40 days, 50 days, meaning as long as we are somewhere near the end of her pregnancy, so then we can call that dam leida and not dam ziva. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Dayachacha. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's only 1 month towards the end of her pregnancy, and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Armim, and Kishur Yoser, Mishtei Shabbosos, and they limit it to just the last 2 weeks of her pregnancy. Okay, we'll start the Gemara today. We'll pick it up tomorrow, but we'll just go through a little bit. The language of the Mishnah is really difficult. Meaning, just to say simple pshat in the Mishnah, Hamakasha Nida. What do those two words mean? That she's having pain at the end of her pregnancy, and she's bleeding, and the Mishnah says, and she's a Nida. What does that even mean? First of all, she's not always a Nida. It could very well be that it was during the Yemei Ziva. And we wouldn't call that Dam Nida. Right. We'd call that Yemei Ziva, right, or Dam Ziva. Right? Look at the first Rashi in the Gemara. Ilu kashasa b'Yemei Ziva, mi havya Nida, v'ayin Nidas b'Yemei Zov. It could very well be that the end of her pregnancy was her Yemei Ziva, not her Yemei Nida. We wouldn't call that Dam Nida. We call that Dam Ziva. So what is simple pshat in the Mishnah? Correct. That's true. I agree with you. But what's the, that doesn't change the Gemara's. No, but the Gemara's the Mishnah sounds like it's saying that any bleeding that's occurring at the end of labor is dam nida. It's not true. It could very well be dam ziva. You're right, but that doesn't change the question. The question still stands. Why would the Mishnah say it's dam nida? It's not unqualified dam nida. Just we're not. Your point is correct, but you're not saying pshat in the Mishnah.
So the Mishnah assumption is that there was a dam nida before that, and then the ziva came after.
Correct. Correct.
You just don't know about it.
Right. It doesn't have to be that the bleeding is by definition nida, dam nida. Okay. So Amar Rav nida liyuma. So Rav says the following. Okay, so here's what we'll say as pshat in the Mishnah. Pshat in the Mishnah is nida liyuma, meaning Rashi. Rashi says hachi kamar hamakash v'ra dam bimei ziva afagav de lo asir b'lidei ziva. Look, let's say she's at the end of her pregnancy and there's pain and she's bleeding. So what is that? So, quite frankly, it's nothing. Meaning it's not dam nida, it's not dam ziva, it's the kishui haleda. It's the pangs of birth. And so therefore, it doesn't qualify. Mihu, continues Rashi, but she can't be with her husband that day. Why not? So, on the day that she's bleeding, she can't be with her husband. Now, Rashi doesn't give the reason why, right? Certainly, you can understand it just from a simple standpoint of the Chachamim don't want them to habituate to be with one another while she's bleeding. You could say that. Okay, we'll get to the next sheet in just a moment. But anyway, but Rashi at the end clearly articulates, because look, this is Dam Koshi. The Torah is Metahir Dam Koshi. And so the only thing the Mishnah means by that is that she can't be with her husband during the day that she's bleeding. Why use the word needed to describe that? Oh, because Min HaTorah, that's what Nida looks like. Meaning, what is Nida? Nida is that she's bleeding for 7 days. Now again, she can bleed, she doesn't have to bleed all 7 days. But if just imagine that she is bleeding, in fact, all 7 days are of Yemei Nida. Min HaTorah, right, important disclaimer. Min HaTorah, so that night, even though she bled on day 7, that night, as long as she stopped bleeding, and she did a Hefsek Tahara, she goes to the mikvah. So the Mishnah's usage of the word Nida over here is just to convey that idea that the same thing is true regarding Dam Koshi. That during Dam Koshi, so during the day she can't be with her husband, but that night she can be. Shmuel Amar, Chayshin Hashem Tisha Peh. Shmuel says, no. Pshan, the Mishnah goes like this. That not only can she not be with her husband that day, but she has to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. She has to wait till the next day as well. Why? Because look, we're saying it's Dam Koshi, but we don't know. Meaning at this point in time, it seems like labor pain. It seems like labor blood. But as we already learned back in the Mishnah, if there is a significant pause between this, what she thought was labor pain, and the actual delivery, again, what does that have to be? Either 24 hours or Laila V'yom, whatever that pause is. So now what we're going to go is we're going to go back and reinterpret this to be not Dam Koshi, but rather Dam Ziva. So Shmuel's of the position that Chayshin Hashem et Shafa, because of this concern that there may be a significant break, so therefore she can't be with her husband that day, neither the following day as well. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Mekashe Ein Klum. And Rabbi Yitzchak's of the opinion that if it is pain while bleeding at the end of her pregnancy, Ein Klum, it's simply nothing. Meaning that it could be totally ignored altogether. In other words, there does not need to be neither a, certainly not a waiting for the next day, and not even day of as well, according to Yitzchak, according to Rabbi Yitzchak. Now, v'haktani mekasha nida. Okay, so now let's ask a simple question. Rabbi Yitzchak, you have to say pshat in the Mishnah. What's your pshat in the Mishnah going to look like? Amarava b'mei nida, nida b'mei ziva, tahora. So what he's going to say is pshat in the Mishnah is like this, is that when we say that dam koshi is tahor, so we have to now break it apart. We have to parse it. If towards the end of the pregnancy she started her yemei nida, so then dam koshi is not metaher. Meaning dam nida at the end of pregnancy is dam nida, and it's not tahor. The only thing that the koshi, the dam koshi is going to be metaher is dam ziva. Now why the split between the two? It's a drasha. V'hatanya. And the Gemara quotes a brisa. And I'll just read through the brisa quickly, and tomorrow we'll really pick it up from here. Hamakash b'mei nida nida, b'mei ziva tahora. So if she has kishui during her yemei nida, she's a nida. If she has kishui during her yemei ziva, it's tahora. Ketzad, kasha yamecha v'shafsa shnaim, o shikasa shnaim v'shafsa yamechad, o shishafsa v'kasha v'chaza v'shafsa, harei zeh yolez bezov. Aval shafsa yom echad v'kasha shnei yamim, shnaim, o shishafsa shnaim v'kasha yom echad, o shikasa v'shafsa v'chaza v'kasha, ein zeh yolez bezov. So basically, any bleeding that occurs at the towards the end of her pregnancy that is associated and has with it pain, that's no longer considered dam ziva, that's considered dam koshi, and as a result of that, she is not a zav gadola. Kol shadavar koshi samach leida ein ze yolez bezov. If she has pain at the end of her pregnancy and the bleeding is the experiences while having this pain, she is not a yolez bezov. Shofi samach leida harei ze yolez bezov. However, if there was a significant break between what she thought was labor pain, and therefore she thought was dam koshi, but meanwhile there was a significant break, she is not going to be considered, she will be considered a yolez bezov. Chananya ben Achai, Rabbi Yeshua, Amar kol shechal kishua b'shlishi shala, afilu kol hayam kulo, b'shofi, ein ze yolez bezov. If the pain occurred on day three, even if the next day in its entirety had a break, this is not considered yolez bezov. All right, this position of Chananya will go over better tomorrow. Anyway, klal shodaver lasui, amai lasui de Chananya, and the klal shodaver of the Tanakama is there to go against the position of Chananya. In that, to include the position of Chananya with that, if there was even as long as there was koshi on day three. So even if there was a significant break afterwards, so it's not considered a yolez bezov. Okay, obviously we didn't even see the drasha yet in terms of how we arrived at that conclusion. But according to Rav Yitzchak, so the pshat in the Mishnah goes like this: that if she has labor pain and she has a bleeding associated with labor pain towards the end of the pregnancy, so according to Rav Yitzchak, pshat in the Mishnah is that if it's during her yemei nida, she's a nida, but if it's during her yemei ziva, it's zero, it's nothing. Why? Because there's a kasuf. We'll see the drasha at the beginning tomorrow morning in terms of why that should be that dam koshi. It does not going to be mitami her and make her a dam ziva.